Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3 is about the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And it starts out by describing the mindset of those that will enter into the eighth day or the resurrection. It does so by describing what the mindset isn't. Understand? The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. There's only one mind within you that's pure, and that's the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is that which has all things and know it, but empties himself continually and voluntarily, never seeking for him his own. You understand? You have to know you have all things before you can give up all things. Otherwise, your act of giving up, by definition, you will say the table of the Lord is polluted. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, know something before you know anything else, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days, the last day meaning the seventh day of the feast, scoffers, walking after their own desires, and saying, where is the evidence of his presence? It says, where is the promise of his coming? The better translation is, where is the evidence of his presence? You cannot enter the eighth day of the feast, and therefore you cannot participate in the feast of conclusion unless you are certain in your mind that his presence is evident. As we studied in Bananas last night, some of you have spent 14, 15, 16 years knowing that Christ is in you, but you do not yet know that you are in Christ. So as long as Christ is only in you, then you live only by hope. You always hope something is going to change, something is going to get better. And therefore you are continually and forever deceived. It's only those who know first that Christ is in them and second that they are in Christ can enter into the eighth day. That know that the evidence of his presence will never come from external means, because the kingdom of God is within you. It cometh not by observation. When I first became a believer, I spent a whole lot of years, whole lot of months, whole lot of trips trying to find a church. I would go into those churches and I would get physically ill, because by their teaching and by the preaching, they were saying, where is the evidence of his presence? Because they were trying to get me to learn how to get stuff from or through God. Whether it's physical stuff, fulfillment, no matter what it is. If you say that you have something left that you desire, you are saying to the Father, where is the evidence of his presence? You understand? As long as you are saying, where is the evidence of his presence, you by definition are the scoffer and mocker that was cursed in Genesis 12. I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that consider you lightly. You're considering him lightly. You're considering the seed lightly, because you say, I need something else. Where's the evidence of his presence? What did you do for me today? This has nothing to do with anything other than the battle of this wicked one. The wicked one who always needs ongoing affirmation of his worth. The wicked one who always needs strokes. The wicked one who is always and continually saying, where is the evidence of his presence? The battle is always internal. It is never, ever, ever external. Not once. All of it comes to a head on the set day of the Lord, the appointed time, the feast, that great day, the feast of ingathering, the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles. This is where all sloth and apathy comes to a head without mercy. This is so basic to what we believe in that it will be without mercy. It'll be manifested without mercy in this feast. If you have taken the time to read the assigned readings, all of the readings in Hosea, much of Isaiah, much of Zechariah concern the scoffers and the mockers that say, where is the evidence of his presence? This is the baptism of fire that Christ promised that you would be a part of, that you must partake of. When that booth is torn down by your hands, the leaves shaken off, and the branches put into the fire, it can't be by ceremony. It must be by empathy. You must see it as your earthly tabernacle being destroyed once and for all time. Now, I say unto you, you had better let the people in your groups know what this is about. Oh, why, this is just a ceremony. So was the building of the ark by Noah. Oh, that's just... No. Do you understand? This is the only thing that can come against the evilness of your mind and heart. You must be confronted with the reality of the last day. If you are not confronted with the reality of the last day, you will continually walk in Hebrew in hate as opposed to in love. You've heard me say a lot recently that in English, hate is the opposite of love. In Hebrew, apathy is the opposite of love. It's an incredible concept.
Like, I was turning it around. We always think of hate and love towards God. If you turn it towards the things of the world, apathy.
Neglect. Yeah. You neglect the things that are behind.
No feeling whatsoever.
It's Good. Now, please, 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 I beg of you, I beseech you, I do all those kinds of things. If I say something in these next few minutes or days that you do not agree with, don't sit and mull it over. That is apathy. Well, I can't argue with Ollie. Well, you better fucking learn how. Knowing this first. Seems like you'd want to know the love of God first. You'd want to know, how you should act first. You would want to know something first. But it says, know this first. What? That there are mockers and scoffers walking after their own desires, putting God's name on their own desires, just as Agag did, and saying by their thoughts, their words, and their deeds, where is the evidence of his presence? Counting the blood of our Savior as none effect. Counting the life of our Savior as none effect. Counting the resurrection of our Savior as none effect. Still trying to rise above the clouds, just as your father did in the first estate. Forget all the little implications of the ceremony. Forget all of the other stuff. This year we are concentrating on that fire. And watching your earthly tabernacle burn. Coming against the deceit and slipperiness of your minds. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own desires, and saying, where is the evidence of his presence? For since the fathers fell asleep, who fathers? The only fathers here they're talking about here are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So if they probably will take the fathers, if I could read Peter's mind, all the way back to Abel, because he was the first. Since Abel fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. There is never going to be an evidence of his presence by your senses. There is never going to be a fulfillment according to your desires, so that you can serve God in the way that you choose. That is the essence of sin. You've spent all these years excusing it. Every time you excuse it, you are saying to God the Father, where is the evidence of his presence? For this they willingly are ignorant of. You know what that means? It means they know the truth and they pay attention to their mind instead of their truth. Because it's an act of willingness. It's an act of ultimate apathy. Therefore, it's an act of ultimate hate. For this they willingly are ignorant of. What's going on? I feel explosions going over there. Anybody else having any response?
When you said you must see the reality, face the reality of the last day. I mean, that's not that's not you sitting in this room saying some little thing. I mean, forget that next week we're celebrating Tabernacles. That was true from the beginning, is true now, and will be true. Sooner or later, you have to face the last day. And it just hit me.
I was thinking that reading along these passages, it's like when we're willingly ignorant, the willing ignorance is to forget things like the flood. It talks about places where things are completely wiped out.
See, he's reading ahead again.
They got the verb in the wrong place. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Now, you ever notice how deep down in your secret being you think you're eternal? You know, it's like Harry when he gets drunk. You know, he goes through all of the stages of invisible, invincible, indestructible. I'll tell you one goddamn thing. Omniscient. He does. He's starting to do that with one glass of champagne. But you believe you're eternal. But the problem is you don't know what that word means. So your mind, the capacity of Adam, can only think of eternity as a long time in the future. So, man, I got all these great things that's going to happen.
In time, forever.
You can't imagine anything different from this, but you have experienced
And so you spend your life in usury. Once you spend your life in usury, once you start going into debt, the first thing you try to do is try to get someone else to pay your bills. You ever notice how many people blame me for their failure? It's just like you do in the natural. You're out of money. You don't have anything going. So you got to go find somebody to pay your bills. You go to somebody that you believe is rich. You don't go to another poor bastard, same position you're in. You go to someone who you think has a surplus. You say, oh, please help me pay this bill. The reason you do it, because you've spent everything. You have nothing left. And so you still continue to live in this arena. And you can do that psychically, in the spirit. When you spend your tomorrows in your imagination, you can get by with, to satisfy this sick account that you have within you, you've got a very sick accounting system. You can pay the bill by blaming someone else. You understand me? Then, but you're really paying it with borrowed money. But it has the appearance, it's like the U.S. national debt. You know, it's like, before we know it, Japan will have won the Third World War. Why? Because we're going to Japan to pay our debt. Well, what you do is you go to someone who you think is rich. You don't think about this, it just happens. Someone who you think is rich is someone who has some control over you, you think. And you cause them to pay the bill in your mind because you think you're going to live forever. But it's time to pay off all the debtors right now, today. If any of you have blamed me for your failure, it's time to pay me back right now. If you don't, you can't enter into the kingdom. Because you're being deceived. You're saying, where's the promise? Where's the evidence of his presence? You're the scoffer, the mocker that's been walking in the same way your fathers walked since the beginning of time. Rising above the cloud, thinking I'm going to be eternal. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. The promise is it shall never be perished again by water. This time it will be perished by fire. The baptism of fire. The fire of the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles. You understand how this second chapter, the third chapter of 2 Peter is the description of the seventh day. All the bills are due. You must pay the very last farthing, is what Jesus said about it, or you'll be thrown into prison. Except he's not talking about some little prison in Huntsville. He's talking about Gehenna. Yeah. See, God's currency is love. It's the engine of his domain. So the way you pay back is simply by saying, please forgive me. That's pretty neat. Of course, it cost you your life to say that. To everything, there's a season. A time to every purpose under heaven. It should say an appointed time. The seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles is the appointed time to every purpose under heaven. A little child shall lead them until the appointed time. Those weakest in the faith shall lead until the appointed time. And there it's without mercy. I'm not making this up. I didn't learn this in a book. Search the scriptures to see whether these things be true. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept, are garrisoned, in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Reserved unto fire. When we see that tabernacle built, and we watch it die, and inside there's someone living all the time. Though the outer man perish, the inner man is renewed day by day. And we take and strip away the leaves and the covering and the false covering of the earthly tabernacle. And we participate by physically taking it in our hands, every one of us, and putting it in the fire. And we testify to the Father just as though when ancient Israel laid their hands on the scapegoat or laid their hands on the sacrifice, that we are the ones that are deserving of the sacrificial knife. Now we are the ones that see that we are the ones that go into the fire. Now tell me about your opinions. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day, the last day, we've been in the last day since the cross, the night hath come that no one can work. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years or 2,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. Why? Because there's only one day left. The Lord is not slack. You see, the reason those two are tied together, because if you didn't know that 1,000 years was as a day, then you could get by in your heart of hearts by saying, where's the evidence of his presence? I want this now. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Not repentance of the world. All should turn from their lives. Not willing that any should perish, but at the appointed time, the day that we're celebrating, the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles, it's too late to repent. Just as Esau, for one morsel of meat, sold his birthright. And then he tried to get it back with tears and tears and tears, but it was too late. You don't even do it for a morsel. You're not even doing it for even something tangible. You've sold your birthright for some air that you put your name onto and said, this is what I want. It's a thought. It's a ghost. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You've sold your birthright for a ghost, for an image. At least in the time before Christ, that image they worshipped had a little value. You could take and melt it down and sell it. You're so idiotic that you take these little things up here and they're not worth anything to anybody. But you worship them. Hallelujah. Praise God. The way it should be. People's opinions. What will they think? It's air. Tell me about that on the seventh day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Can you believe the shape we'd be in if he wasn't, if a thousand years wasn't as a day? So the very, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. It'll come the moment you can see three stars one night.
Go ahead and turn us when you hear the siren.
The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. In a twinkling of an eye, when the mystery of the bride is completed, time shall be no more. Just between you and the fence post. It's not very far. It's not very far. It's not very long. But it's wonderful there. There can be no cart ropes. There's no ties. There's no alliances. There's no spots in the garment. He doesn't say in the day of the Lord, a day with the Lord is 2,000 years. I want you all to be there. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? You gotta, if everything's gonna get burned up, you gotta know that holy conversation and godliness doesn't mean what the religious world says it means. It means it's finished. Now, looking for and hasting. I love that word. Did you ever see the commercial? Everybody's seen the commercial because there were so many takeoffs on it. Where the guy is running toward his beloved in the field, and they're running, and then they greet each other, and he lifts her up in the air. That's what hasting is. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. But nevertheless we, according to his promise, look, see, for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace. There's only one way to be found in peace. That's when you know that nothing in the universe can be against you. Then you have been perfected, tested in every arena. You will know that Oli isn't against you, since I'm your worst enemy most of the time. You'll know that Satan himself isn't against you, because he was God's agent to perfect you. You'll know that nothing can withstand you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That is the meaning of the test, so that you know that nothing ever separates you. Shall tribulation? No, you glory in tribulation. Distress? No. Persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, not praying for deliverance from them. Remember, the watering of that seed, that mystical seed, is praise in the midst of tribulation. Not scheming. God hates scheming. And all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. If he's persuaded of that, he had to experience it. You understand? You can't have an intellectual religion. You can't even have a religion based on hope. You have to have a life that has been tested. That's why you've been given such an idiot as a rabbi, to test you till you can't stand anymore. If you want it easy, there's 1,000 places you can go. I don't know what's going to happen to you if you go there. I know what's going to happen to you here. You'll be pushed and pushed and pushed until you think you can't go another inch. So that you too can be persuaded that nothing can separate you from the love of God. That there can never be a moment in time in which you are not at peace. What?
That was
an amen?
Amen.
Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved. If you check that out in the Greek, you'd find out something that astronomers may be just now starting to find out. the heavens are already on fire. The end started. Being on fire. The heavens being on fire shall be dissolved by our senses. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. There's no place where the garment is spotted by the flesh, especially in your imaginations. Well, this is too difficult. God made us this. God, I've got an imagination because God gave it to me. Yeah. So you can be tested in it. Well, I'm just being what God wants me to be. Yeah. So you can get destroyed in it. Account. The long suffering of our Lord is salvation. You want the definition of salvation? There it is. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, also as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked one, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. The moment you can say amen to that scripture, that passage, then the eighth day can take place within you. If you have ears to hear, and I pray that you do, this day those scriptures are fulfilled in your ears. Now, can all of you be of those that say, blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord? If you can say amen to that, then you can never have anything be against you again. Because every single item that comes into your life is blessed be he who cometh in the name of the Lord. That's why Jesus said, you shall not see me again until you can say, blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord, to everything.
That's why.
Because it's not only works individually in everything you look at, you can see him if you can say that, or vice versa, but also when the bride can see everything in that, then time and space will be gone, and it will be a,
amen,
you know, face to face.
We no more see through the glass darkly than face to face. You look like you've been hit with an atomic bomb.
Every single person in this room, I have a at one time or another, and in some cases for a long time, I've hated every single person in this room because of, I perceived each person to be coming against me, to be evil, trying to destroy me, trying to take away from me. And I can see that in every instance it's been God, it's been Jesus Christ, it's been a blessing, and it is every single thing has ripped away more and more. Check. And I said, thank God.